happy day. Oh, happy day. Happy day.
Come on, church.
Oh, happy day. When Jesus won. When Jesus won. I'm so glad he's won. He washed my sins away. Well, he taught me how, taught me how to watch and pray, watch and pray. Then he taught me how to live, rejoicing every day. Happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus was, when my Jesus was, I'm so glad he's won, he washed my sins away. Sins are washed away, every day is a happy day. Washed in the blood, I'm born again. My sins are washed away, every day is a happy day. Well, he taught me how. I'm so glad he's washed. He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. He's worthy. Amen. He's worthy to be praised, and that's the reason that we're here. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir as well, Pastor.
Well, we praise the Lord this morning, and so good to see everybody. What a wonderful day it was for me. I know when I got born again, November 19th, 2002, and it was a happy day for me, and it's still a happy day, and for these number of years that I've been saved, been learning to walk with Jesus, learning what works, what don't work, learning to lean on Him, and so what a blessing it is, and an honor and a joy it is to be called a child of God. And so good to see everybody this morning. Hope everybody's doing good. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, Georgia. And we had a great outreach yesterday. And I want to thank those who came to our community outreach. We started over here on Sharon Drive and worked our way down a good stretch. And got to talk to quite a few people and share the Lord. And we had even a time of prayer together with some, And so it was just a very productive day. Thank you so very much for coming. And along the way, I actually knocked on a certain door and started witnessing to somebody. And come to find out, it was James Townsend. And it was James and Shirley Townsend's house. And I picked on him for a minute about that, but had special prayer with him. And speaking of the Townsends, I do remember Miss Shirley. She has pneumonia, and she's not doing good. I believe she's hospitalized. She is hospitalized. And yesterday she was home in the bed. James said that she was able to quit coughing long enough to go to sleep, but she needs your prayers this morning. And so please, please remember Miss Shirley and Brother James. And of course, grab a bulletin if you would on your way out. If you don't have one already, there you'll have a full length, full list of all of our prayer requests and certain things that are going on, upcoming events and such. Today's Baptism Sunday, amen? Yeah. And we are going to baptize at the end of the service, after the sermon, and we are baptizing two angels. Two angels. You know what their last name is? Angel. I believe that's how it's pronounced. If not, you know, baptizing two angels. I couldn't wait to say that this morning. I told Christy last night, I said, I can't wait to tell the church we're baptizing two angels this morning. But Jalen and Gracie, angels, so privileged and honored to baptize you two girls. I love you. And just keep walking with the Lord. This is your public profession of faith that we're going to do here in a little while. Observe. Just keep walking with the Lord. That way, when you get older, it'll just be as natural as breathing. And God's going to bless you too. You stay with Him. You walk with Him. He's going to pave your pathway. He's going to lead and guide you. We're just so proud of you too. We love you this morning. It's an honor to baptize you girls. All right. I want to mention a couple things before we pray. And that is this evening we'll be downstairs, 5 o'clock. We normally have our last Sunday night fellowship downstairs, and so remember that. We'll be downstairs. It will not be Facebook Live, and so if you're afraid you may miss something, just show up and come and be with us downstairs as we have our meeting downstairs tonight. So just remember that. Also, I have a booklet here. This is a 40-day prayer guide for our nation entitled, If My People. Does anybody know what next Thursday is? National Day of Prayer. National Day of Prayer. And we have 100 of these. There's some to my right down front, and there's some in the foyer. That is free to you. Please grab one. It's a devotional, again, 40 days. A lot of times in the Bible, the number 40 was used for a time of testing, a time of trial, a time of just being committed. And so remember that, to pick up a 40-day book here. And so that was donated. And so we appreciate that. So remember that. And a lot of things going on at the church. We've got a busy month of May coming up. So remember that. And so we will just keep moving forward in the service this morning. You glad you're here? Say amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray. And then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you this morning for who you are and for what you do, Lord. God, these two ordinances of the church, communion and baptism, we take to heart, Lord. We take to heart. While communion is a picture of the body of Jesus that was broken and the cup was pictorial of the blood of Christ, Father, baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but also it's us identifying with that death, burial, and resurrection. We have died to the old man, and there is a new person in us, the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. And so, Lord, this morning we do our very best to take our time and really just enjoy this service. Oh, happy day. It was such a happy day. The day of my salvation and others' salvation. And today's a happy day for the baptism. So, Lord, just speak to us. I pray, Father, for just a few moments, our minds will be centered and focused on you. And God, that we would just
be obedient to you this morning, however that may look like. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Pastor, don't go far. We got something we need to do. Give me a good old key for happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, church. We love you.
All right. We have something to celebrate. Yeah, youngsters, right. And I've been saved longer than you are old. A lot longer, as a matter of fact, I'm afraid. I was sitting there thinking about that, and it's been like 47 years. And I know Ceylon's got me, but 47 years since I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. It was the greatest day of my life because it's when life truly started. I was born again into the family of God. I'm so thankful for that this morning. If you're here and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, oh, what a happy day it could be for you as well. So you listen close to what the Lord might want to say to you. The altars are always open. Somebody will come and explain to you the plan of salvation, how you too could be born into the family of God. I couldn't think of anything any greater that could take place today. We should look at every service like that. I've seen church members get saved. I've seen piano players get saved. I've seen folks that thought they were born again realize that they were not. I went through that for some time. So consider, if you will, today, do you truly know the Lord as your personal Savior? Because one day soon and very soon, we're going to stand before Him. Will you be ready on that day? That's the only thing that truly matters. That's the reason that we've opened the doors and turned on the lights this morning. What if this was the last day? The last opportunity that you might have. Hear me this morning. To come to Jesus. That when you leave this life, you'll know that heaven would be your home. Church, turn with me this morning to page number 333. It says, "Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away." Are you ready? Church, stand with me. Choir, stand. Let's sing that old song. It says, "I'll fly away." Two flats. All right, church, stand. Let's sing this morning. "Some glad morning when this life is o'er, just a few more, just a few more weary days, and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away." Sing now. "I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away when I die." Oh, we got to keep singing again. choir, you can be seated as well. All right. This evening, as we'll have service downstairs, choir will not have choir practice this evening, but don't think, well, we're not going to have choir practice on those evenings. No, we will. But this evening, we won't. I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. We're going to go downstairs, 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. It's always a great time. Just you can. Remember the phrase I used to say, just come and let your hair down? Well, that was good while I had hair. But I just want to, it's not that funny. But I want to say this morning, I told the choir this, and I didn't make a great deal of noise about it, but I was going through a pretty difficult time there for a few weeks, and through some choices that I had to go through with some doctors. But long story short, I promised the Lord if he would be with me that I'd give him praise. So it would be terrible to think that he was with me and I didn't do what I promised. So I want to give him praise this morning for bringing me through this week. It's been a trying past few weeks, but God, I love that phrase, but God was with me. And I truly give him all of the praise for what he's done. And I think when we promise him to do something like that to him, we need to follow through on our end. Amen. God's a great God, and he's worthy to be praised this morning. So continue to lift him in praise and think about that this morning. God's so good. He is so good to us. Oh, what a happy day. You're right, Brother Harry. We could just sing that all day long. I'll fly away, Lord of mercy, when I die. Hallelujah. Not oh me, but hallelujah by and by. I'll fly away. God's a good God. Don't forget about the fellowship, sir. It could be today. Absolutely right. Don't forget about the time this evening that we'll spend downstairs. It'll be a great time. 5 o'clock, you don't want to miss it. It'll be a great time. We look forward to it. And so remember all the prayer requests and the announcements this morning. God's got something great in store for us. Would you please lift up our pastor in prayer and listen closely to what the Lord wants to say to each of us today. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for the opportunity. Lord, that's not just words. We are truly thankful for the opportunity that we have to be able to come to your house this morning, to give you praise, to give you thanks. Lord, some come this morning still with heavy hearts. They are carrying a load. But I'm thankful that you also said in your word that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, you didn't make these shoulders to carry around all this weight. I'm so thankful we can cast it at your feet. Lord, maybe someone this morning needs to realize this morning. Maybe they already have, about something that's been said, maybe a song that's been sung, that they're just not ready to meet you. Lord, and I pray that this would be the day they'd realize that, come to know you as the Lord of their life, that you could become their personal Savior today. Draw someone today to salvation. Lord, it's got to be through you, through the moving of the Holy Spirit. Be with our pastor as he preaches your word. Be with the choir in a few moments as we sing another song. Bless the offering now, both the gift and the giver. Again, Lord, fill this place with your Holy Spirit, that when we leave, we'll be able to say, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord today. Lord, it already is. We could turn around and go home right now and say it's been good to have been in your house. Lord, I believe you have something even greater in store for us. We'll praise you, Lord, and we'll thank you now for all that's accomplished. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say, if you're visiting with us for the first time, if you wouldn't mind, would you just lift your hands? We want to make sure that you get a card, and we'll make sure that you get a letter from the church. Anybody visiting with the first time, I don't want to embarrass anyone. Maybe you all have been here before, and so we'll just claim you as home, folks, and thank you for being in the Lord's house today. Amen. Praise the Lord for our musicians this morning. Amen. What an awesome job they do. I missed one announcement. Would you listen close, please?
Okay. Mark your calendars for May the 10th. That's a Friday. We are going, the seniors, 55 and up, are going to Gibbs Garden. We tried last year and we got rained out. So we're going again this year. So if you already had bought tickets for last year, I have them and they're still good. They don't expire. If you want to go and didn't buy a ticket last year, just see us. We have the availability of the children's home van, which holds 15. So if you want to go, you can just buy your ticket there. So we'll meet here at the church at 10 a.m. May the 10th. That's it.
The precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel his presence. My soul was hungry. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. How oft I cried when far away from you, my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now. God, I know I need you. My soul was hungry. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
praise the Lord this morning. From whom all blessings flow. Praise the Lord. All right. If you have your Bibles, please take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Just a few moments this morning. I want to share some things out of this book, and then we will conclude the service with the baptism, two baptisms. And let's bow for a word of prayer. And then we'll introduce the subject this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for, again, all things, Lord, because you're worthy. You're worthy. All blessings flow from you. And we're so very thankful. Again, thank you, Lord, for the salvation of Jalen and Gracie. God, I pray that everyone would take to heart this special morning as we get ready to baptize them. And maybe there's someone here that doesn't know you personally as their Lord and Savior. I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. And maybe they could even get baptized as well. We love you today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. This is a day of rejoicing over the two souls that got saved, and we'll say a bit about that in a little while, a bit more about that when we actually baptize Jalen and Gracie, but they accepted the Lord, I was told, during the week of Jubilee, and of course there was Junior Jubilee, and I believe Brother Brian had spoke to them, and there was a moment, I believe, at the children's home. And so in between the week of Jubilee, Junior Jubilee, and the children's home conversations they had there is when they accepted the Lord. So this is a day of rejoicing, a day of rejoicing. But also this is a day of accountability as well. And girls, although you are young, I will say this is a day of accountability for you. You received Jesus as your Savior, and now you're telling the world that you're a Christian through believer's baptism. Or as the young girl said a long time ago, receiver's baptism. But this is your first step of obedience in being a Christian. You're telling the world that you are indeed that. You are a believer, a follower of Jesus. And again, I know that you both are young, but stay close to God, as I said earlier. Jalen and Gracie, stay close to God. Walk with Him closely so that when you do get older, your relationship and your walk with the Lord will be just as natural as breathing. And so remember that. And so here in Acts chapter number 8 this morning, I do want to say this before we read any verses or give any detail, that the New Testament church has ordinances. The question is, what is an ordinance? Basically, an ordinance is a sacred, formal act that has spiritual meaning. A sacred, formal act that has spiritual meaning. We have two ordinances in the New Testament church. That is communion, which we call the Lord's Supper. There it's illustrated of the bread and the cup. The bread is symbolic to the body of Jesus that was broken. And the cup, it's a cup. It's not wine. It's not alcohol. It's a cup. And it's It pictures the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, that the cup they received that night was not fermented wine. The process of fermentation has to do with bacteria. And there is no bacteria in the precious blood of Jesus. He has perfect blood. And so that's one ordinance of the New Testament church is communion. Doesn't tell us how much we ought to do it, but it does say that we ought to do it. And as often as we do it, we do tell again the Lord's death until He comes. And so that's a sacred formal act that has spiritual meaning. But then there's baptism. Believer's baptism or receiver's baptism. Those who have been saved follow through with baptism. This is a public profession of an inward possession. You are getting baptized. You got baptized. I got baptized. If we believe the same way in believer's baptism, because we do possess salvation. And so it's a public profession of an inward possession. It's declaring the old you is dead and there's a new you. You have experienced spiritual resurrection. Remember in the garden of Eden in the very beginning, and Adam and Eve, they were told if they eat of the tree in the middle, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they will die in the day that they eat thereof. Well, they ate, but they didn't die physically. They died spiritually. So ever since the beginning of time, there's been this disconnect between fallen man and a holy God. And so that's why a holy God sent His Son Jesus to bridge the gap, to connect the hands, so to speak. And so, therefore, we have restoration in Jesus. And so that's baptism. That is a sacred formal act that has spiritual meaning. We have been spiritually restored. We have been spiritually resurrected. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. We are declaring the old man has died, and there is a new man. Not that the old man won't ever give us trouble. He's always going to be on our back. But we have new desire, new focus, new direction. And so that's the two ordinances of the New Testament church. Now, I will say, as we get ready to mention our verses in a moment, that some religions and even denominations have what they call sacraments. Sacraments. Sacraments are seen in the Catholic Church. Also, a sacrament is in essence the same as an ordinance, meaning it is a sacred formal act that has spiritual meaning. But there is a difference between an ordinance and a sacrament. Again, both ordinance and sacraments are sacred formal acts that carry spiritual meaning. But a sacrament that's seen in many religions, denominations, and even cults even, a sacrament is seen as a means of grace. A means of salvation. Let's do this to obtain salvation. That is a sacrament. An ordinance is we are doing this because of grace. We are doing this because we have salvation. And so a sacrament is seen as a means of grace to obtain salvation, which you can never obtain. No work of righteousness that we could possibly ever do will obtain or merit salvation. It is the free gift of God. The ordinance, it is a demonstration of grace, something we do. We exercise these spiritual things because of grace. We observe communion. We do that exercise because of grace, because we're saved. In baptism, we exercise this ordinance of baptism because of grace. So there's sacraments and then there's ordinances. So this morning I want to look at baptism, this second ordinance, and mention some things that might refresh our memories just a little bit. And I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, the three M's of baptism. The three M's of baptism. But first, here in Acts chapter number 8, we have a man named Philip. Philip went down to Samaria to preach the gospel. The church of Jerusalem was under persecution. There was the death of Stephen, and the Christians were scattered, and yet Philip was on a preaching tour. Philip was preaching the gospel there in Samaria. And we know that Philip preached and many were saved. Unclean spirits came out of people. Many were healed that had a palsy and were lame. And as a result of the preaching, as a result of the healing, verse number 8 says this, "And there was great joy in that city." You know, that's my prayer for Powder Springs, is that we would reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they would accept Jesus as their Savior, and there will be a sense of great joy in Powder Springs, rejoicing that our sins are gone, and heaven is going to be our home. I pray that there'll be a revival in Powder Springs. Of course, we know that revival starts with those of us who have already been saved, and it's a matter of coming back forth. It's a matter of being revived. But there was a great joy. There was great joy in that city, is what the Bible says in verse number 8. In the middle of this spiritual awakening in that city, God called Philip away. Look at verse number 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and came or come to worship, or had come to Jerusalem for to worship." So we see that in the middle of this spiritual awakening, God called Philip away. Now Philip, no doubt, was a man who was sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. To hear that voice and to leave such a happening place. Some would have thought, and probably did in that day, "Philip, are you sure it's not the devil speaking to you? Philip, are you sure it's not the wicked one speaking to you? I mean, people are getting saved, people are getting healed, and you're saying God is calling you from here. You sure it's not the devil?" Philip said, "No, it's the Lord." So this morning we can look at that and say it is very important to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's very important not just to walk with Him on Wednesdays and Sundays, but walk with Him from Monday to Monday. I don't know about you this morning or not, but there's things in my life I need direction on. I mean, listen, there's things in my life I need direction on, my family's life, there's things we're praying about. You know, there's a church here that needs to be led. We have lives that need to be lived. And I do not want to misguide my family. I do not want to misguide my church. Therefore, I need to have a consistent walk with God. You also, if you don't already, need to have a Monday to Monday walk with God. It's imperative that we hear His voice and know. Because, again, these people may have thought it's the devil calling them away, but actually it was the Lord. And so sometimes the Lord does call us in other directions, even when things are good. It's important to listen to God. It's equally important to obey God in spite of favorable circumstances. So Philip goes, and behold, he found a eunuch. He found a man, a eunuch, a statesman, an unmarried man, trying to understand the book of Isaiah. Look at verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so this eunuch is trying to understand the book of Isaiah. And so we see that there, and Philip is now explaining the scriptures to him. And with that said, I want to pick up reading, if I could, in verse number 35. Verse number 35 down through verse number 39. This is Philip talking to the eunuch, explaining the scriptures to him. And the Bible says in verse number 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Let me just stop here and say that there are other versions of the Bible, and there are other versions of the Bible who have left out verse number 37. Verse 37 says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You say, Brother Justin, what's the problem with leaving out verse 37? Well, it's God's Word. You're not to add nor take away from God's Word. But it makes it a work. It makes it a work. What hinders me from being baptized? Nothing. Get baptized and your sins will be gone. A lot of versions leave out verse number 37. But the Bible says in verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. I'm going to stop reading there in verse number 39. That's Acts chapter number 8. Verse 35 down through verse number 39. The three M's of baptism. Number one, there's the M of motive. Notice what he says again in verse number 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He says, what is hindering me to go into the water in being baptized? Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so we see here the motive of baptism is salvation. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Back over in verse number 12, notice with me, the Bible says, but when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And so we see here that the motive of baptism is salvation, is believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The word believest here, there in verse number 37, believest. In other verses, it's mentioned several places through the Bible, believe, believest. And it's more than a mental assent. It's more than just saying, oh, I believe. The Bible says in James 2:19 that the devils also believe and tremble. And so when the Scripture talks believing in Jesus, or here in our verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, it's more than a mental assent. Again, the devil and demons, they mentally assent. They know who the Son of God is. They understand the plan of salvation. And I believe that there are many, even in our churches, that have mentally assented
I believe in Jesus. I believe He died, He was buried, and He rose again for me. And so it's more than a mental assent. This has more to do with intellect. It's not an intellectual issue as it is a heart issue. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The next verse says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's more than a mental assent. It is an issue of the heart. Let me give you an illustration. I did this last time I preached this. And by the way, I preached on baptism, I believe it was 9 months ago. We baptized 8 that Sunday morning, 9 months ago. But I want to do this because it's a good illustration. The chair illustration. A lot of people say they are Christians, they are saved by the grace of God, and a lot have just mentally assented to the idea. There's not a changed life, there's no desires that for godliness or godly things. So it's like this chair here. I'll point at this chair and I'll say, I know this chair can hold me up. I believe in this chair. It has metal legs. It has a nice cushion on it. I believe it's a comfortable chair. I believe it's a sturdy chair. And I just believe this chair will hold me up. And mentally, I'm consenting to the fact that I believe that chair will hold me up. But I have no experience in that chair at all. I could even go and be a salesman of that chair and say, oh, this is the best chair you could ever buy. I mean, it has a cushion, has metal legs on it. It'll hold anybody up. I could be a chair salesman of this chair. But if I've never experienced that chair, it's just a mental assent, no hard experience. And so whenever I go to sit in this chair, it's now moved from my head to my heart. Not only I believed before this chair would hold me up and it's comfortable, but now I have some experiential knowledge in this chair. It's holding me up and it's comfortable. There is a lot of people in our days that have said, oh, I'm saved. I believe in the Lord and I trust Him. He's been my Savior. And listen, I'm not trying to confuse anybody this morning. If you are doubting your salvation, actually, that can actually lead to a good thing. That can actually be a good thing because those who are lost don't doubt their salvation. They don't care they're saved. There are a lot of people say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I'm a Christian. But there is no changed life. There is no newness of life. And so the problem is, there's a lot of people just raising their hands. There's a lot of churches say, hey, if you're not saved, just raise your hand and pray after me. We don't do that here. Because salvation is a very personal thing. Salvation has to do with faith, believing in the Son of God, that He died for you and He was buried on the third day, rose again. But also, the other side of that coin, it has to do with repentance. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I can't change my life. I can't take myself to heaven when I die. Lord, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. And so, Father, I am facing this way, but now I choose to turn around and face You, embrace Your plan of salvation, Lord. Save me, be the Lord of my life, take me to heaven when I die, and help me be godly, help me be righteous, help me become more like You. So it's not just a raise your hand, pray a prayer after me kind of thing. No. When Jesus died upon the cross, that wasn't a cheap death. We're not preaching a cheap gospel this morning. This is not cheap grace. The darling Son of God died upon the cross. And so because of that, through faith and repentance, we must turn to Him for salvation. Then there will be a changed life. So this morning, the motive for baptism is indeed salvation. Have you sat in that spiritual chair? Is the question. Are you saved? If not, get saved and we can baptize you in a few moments. Let me ask you this. Where are you going to be 100 years from now? Those watching on Facebook, where are you going to be 100 years from now? You say, I'm going to be in heaven. Let me ask you, what are you basing that on? How do you know you're going to be in heaven 100 years from now? Well, because, Justin, you know, I work, I provide for my family, I do what's right. No. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There needs to be a mediator. There needs to be a, like John says, a propitiation, a satisfaction for our sins. The only way that you and I will be in heaven 100 years from now is if we understand that we are a sinner, spiritually separated from God. But God the Father sent God the Son to grab both hands to bring us, to make one and take us to when we go, take us to heaven when we die. I'm going to heaven whenever I die because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you're going to heaven when you die because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so that's the motive this morning for baptism. So that's the first M, motive. But then the second M, method. Method. We believe in immersion. Immersion. Look in verse number 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. And Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Look at verse 39. And when they were, what does it say? Come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The method is immersion. Immersion means the action of immersing someone or something in a liquid. There's the word baptized in verse 38. The word baptized in the Greek means baptizo, which means to immerse, or it means fully wet. This is a liquid grave. This morning, when you go to the cemetery and you bury your loved one, do you just sprinkle a little bit of dirt on them? You say, all right, they're buried. No. You dig a hole. The grave diggers dig a grave, and they're completely buried. And so this pictures a death. Jesus was literally buried, and he rose again. So we know that baptism, the method is immersion, to be fully wet, to immerse. Now, there's some wrong views when it comes to baptism. Infant baptism is a wrong view. Baptismal regeneration is a wrong view. Our Church of Christ friends believe in baptismal regeneration. If I get baptized and I'm in, I get saved. I truly get saved when I'm baptized. Well, there's only one problem wrong with that. What about the thief on the cross? He didn't get baptized. Church of God friends say, well, Jesus was baptized. Well, let me tell you what it meant by Jesus being baptized. Jesus' baptism was identification. Jesus was stating why he was coming when he got baptized. He was coming to give his life, to die, to be buried, and to rise again. That was a picture. He was identifying himself with his death. Wasn't saying, well, Jesus got baptized, and so because he got baptized, you got to get baptized to be saved. No. It was identification as to why he came. He was identifying himself with his death, burial, and resurrection. Infant baptism won't work, for an infant doesn't even know they're on planet Earth until they get a little older. Baptismal regeneration doesn't work. Sprinkling doesn't work. And the last wrong view is no baptism at all. Some say, well, I'm saved, so I don't have to get baptized. Well, that's true. That is the most important thing, is being saved. But your first step of obedience is to follow through in believer's baptism. That's biblical. And so we see that here. We see the method. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Baptizo, immersed him, fully wet. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip, caught away Philip. So that's the second M this morning, and that is method. So we looked at the first M, the motive. We looked at the second M, the method. And then there's the third M this morning, the meaning. What does baptism in a nutshell actually mean? Well, it's threefold. Number one, it is identification. Turn with me, if you would, for a moment to Romans 6. Romans chapter number 6, just for a moment. Romans 6 and verse number 4, listen to this. Paul speaking, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And here's a key word, that like, in like manner. I'm giving you a picture. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism is identification. It pictures something. It pictures like Christ died, buried, and raised again. So baptism has to do with identification. Baptism has to do with proclamation. 1 Timothy 6:12, briefly, listen to this. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We believe this was Timothy's baptism. Timothy's baptism. He had a public proclamation. He proclaimed to all that he was a child of God. He was saved. And so because of the new birth, we identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in baptism. For that's what happened in our hearts. We died, we were buried and resurrected to walk in newness of life. It's proclaiming to all that you have decided to follow Jesus. It's proclaiming to all the old you has died, sins washed away, past, present, and future, and there's a new you. It's proclaiming to all there's a new you in Jesus, and you're starting a new life. So the meaning of baptism in a nutshell is identification, it's proclamation, but then it's instruction. It's instruction. Once we're saved and baptized, we are instructed to do three things. Last place I'll have you turn, then we'll change the service. Matthew 28. Once we're saved and baptized, we are instructed to do three things. Matthew 28, verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Number one, we are instructed after we're saved and baptized to evangelize. Evangelize. To teach. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's why we have missionaries foreign and home. That's why we have outreach ministry on monthly, is to reach our Jerusalem, is to reach the people around us. So we are trying to fulfill our calling, and that is to evangelize. And then after they accept Jesus, we are to baptize. That's what we're about to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But then there's a third part. And this is my made-up word. We are to evangelize, baptize, and disciplize. Disciplize. A lot of churches fall short in this area. They get them saved, they baptize them, but then there's no discipling. There's no coming along to the side of and saying, hey, brother, hey, sister, you're in the family now. Let me teach you some things that I've learned since I've been walking with God. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So that's the instruction. Evangelize, baptize, disciplize. There's a proclamation. Baptism itself, proclaiming to all you're new. The old you has died, and there's identification. The same way that Jesus died, buried, raised again, that's the same thing that happened to you spiritually. And that's what we're about to show here in just a moment. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. Thank you for the three M's of baptism, the motive, the method, the meaning. Lord, there's so much we could say about baptism, but this is one chapter in the Bible that I love about baptism. And Lord, I just pray that something was said, God, that could be used to help someone. If there's someone here that doesn't know you personally, Lord, let today be the day of salvation for them, where they come and sit in the spiritual chair of their heart and allow you to be Lord of their life. We love you today and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and we'll give a verse of invitation. I'll ask those, Christy and I believe Jalen and Gracie, if y'all make your way to my right, and I'll be headed that way to my left here in just a moment. If you need to come pray, you come pray.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can church, you can be seated just for a moment. We're going to finish singing this song. It says, nothing can for sin atone. Church, sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No. Is the flow. on the last. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing